Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Appreciate that, Josh. Rachel, thank you for putting that together. That's amazing. I hope that gives you an idea of some of the titles and some of the places we're heading. If you're a visitor, we do have our messages online, so if that excites you as well, do plug in. We'd love for you to do that. Thank you also. I just want to say thank you for praying for me. I appreciated the messages. I wasn't great, but the Lord is good. The Lord is great. And thank you for praying for the old man. Pretty good. I appreciate that. And so another series on what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And I can guarantee most of us are thinking, I know what a disciple is already. I don't think we do. And there's a challenge for you at the beginning. I don't think we know what a disciple is. I think we know the words and we can describe what a disciple is. And we can use some words around following Jesus, but we don't really know until we know. Knowing is when you know and you do it. Then you see. You know it when you do it. Until you do it, you don't know it. It's just, that's the way it goes. It's as simple as that. And the thing is as well, it's going to be quite painful. But before I pray, I'm just going to kind of give you this little bit of a instruction, because it's going to be painful for us. Because Jesus says you don't put new wine into old wineskins. You might recall that verse. So it's not about tweaking the dials on our existing life. It's not about kind of slight adjustment on things. When we have a whole new wineskin of ourself or of the church, when the whole paradigm and model of how we do church or how we do Christian following of Jesus, whatever we want to say, how we do things, when the whole paradigm changes, the wineskin kind of gets damaged. If we try and keep that in the old wineskin, Jesus said it'll split. So it's about a DNA change. The whole series is going to be about a DNA stretching. So that the first prayer alongside, Lord, I want to be a disciple of yours. I want to be someone who does this properly, is, Lord, I want you to change my wineskin of receipt. I need you to change my container of what it means to be a disciple. You don't want to do that. There are other churches in the city, but that's what it's going to feel like. And you're going to feel really stretched. And that's not aggressive. It's just the way it goes. Jesus was radical. Amen. And it's really stretching my heart, this whole series. I have to be floored first. And so that's really important. So I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray that in only the way the Holy Spirit can, that he'll pour oil into your wineskin. He'll pour oil on the new wineskin so it eases in. And it will be a wonderful experience and a challenging experience for me and for you. I want to be able to mean those words of those amazing songs. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross, but you are my king now. Lord, King of Kings, Majesty, I live my whole life. I live to serve your majesty. I want to really mean that in my life. I'm a Christ follower. I want to mean that. I want to, at least want to. So please journey with us. Please allow the Holy Spirit all access to our lives. And let him challenge that paradigm of what I've always done. It's healthy, it's fresh, it's scary, but the Lord is good. The Lord is good. So let's pray, and then I'll just read a couple of verses for you to listen to, and then we'll go from there. Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you're with us. Thank you so much for what we've heard already about a dedicated life at such a young age. Wonderful. And Lord, we thank you that in scripture was who believed, who followed you. So Lord Jesus, I pray, and I pray for Erin Gray this afternoon, Lord, that 10 years old, she has stood up and she's standing up today to say, my boss is Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Lord, I pray that you will give our youth workers, our children's workers, that openness around communicating what it really means, and that you'll give our young people a hunger and thirst, and children, for following Jesus. This is amongst us, we pray. Lord, thank you so much that you are at work. I just pray that you would continue to be with Frank. Thank you that he's putting on a bit of weight. I pray, Lord God, for his complete healing in these, and that you'd have your way there in his life. Be with us now, Holy Spirit, as we consider this new series. Go and make disciples. It's not new. It's an original command, yet we've buried it over years and years of doing church. Would you unpick that? Would you challenge that, Lord? Would you change our wineskin as you must, Holy Spirit? And might it be that we'll be receptive vehicles and Lord, we'll be those empty vessels that would receive all you have for us and move forward in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to try and keep going. I like to flick, and I don't know whether it's the battery or whether it's the thingy. I've twisted that all very well, so we'll try. That's a bit too high for me, but never mind. Sorry, Giles, it's okay. Yeah, you can just a bit if you want. I'm just going to read some scriptures. No need, if it's on the screen, fine, but don't worry about it. Jesus said, let him who has ears, let them listen. So, yeah, I'm not that small, Giles. It's good to see Derek Simpson here today. Derek was stood up earlier on. Derek's standing and walking about, which is fantastic. Derek, it's fantastic to see you, brother. Really, really great. And those who've been here, like Manoa and others. Just in case. You are a star. Absolutely. I'll keep it there for now. This is what Jesus said. End of Matthew. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. I don't know if any of you have seen a film called The Notebook. Anybody? Want to pop the hand in the air? If you like a good cry, it's a sad movie. Now, in the opening scenes, it's interesting. In the opening scenes, there's an elderly guy visiting a lady in a care home, and it would appear that they don't really know each other, because he goes in and she doesn't appear to know who he is. And I thought when the first scenes opened that he was a volunteer visitor for an elderly home, and it transpires that actually they're a married couple, and she tragically has got Alzheimer's. And she's forgotten all about their relationship. And what was really moving about this whole film is that the way he helps her to recognize who he is. And every single day he goes, and what he does is he reads a story to her. But it's not just any story, it is their story together. And he reads the story of their life. And each time as he reads through the story, at some point, she comes to a point in the story, as he's telling it, when she sees him again for who he is. It's beautiful. It's incredibly moving. And then she has this passion again for this kind of stranger. She has this passion and sees the story she is part of. And as so full of joy at recognizing why he's coming to visit her in the original relationship. And the reason I say that, and it might be obvious to you, is that we too, as God's people, who maybe for some of us we've been doing church for a long time, we can forget the story we're part of. It's very easy for us to kind of lose the edge on that relationship we first had. I think we were asked this morning, can you remember what it was like when you first came to Jesus? I want that every day. Every day, I want to be reminded of the story I'm in, so I'm passionate about Jesus Christ. Just when in the very first early days, 1,000 horses couldn't have kept me from sharing Jesus with my friends at 16 years old. I don't want 2,000 horses today to prevent me from doing that. I want to keep reminded, I want the Spirit of God, the great truth teller, the great storyteller, as Jesus said in John 16, to come and remind me of the story I'm part of. Not just my own salvation, but the grander plan of things that he says, you are to go and make other people who are passionate about me as well. Disciples, close followers of Jesus. And this whole series is designed to challenge me. In some ways, please forgive the metaphor, but to almost, you know, we can almost treat this like some kind of care home in church. Where it's about, perhaps we're just being looked after by a group of people, and as long as we put our money in, then that's what happens in the care home. I believe the Spirit of God wants us to have a much more dynamic life than that. I believe he would remind us each and every day that we are part of an amazing story and that he loves us deeply. More deeply than we could ever know. A love that will never let me go. Do you know a love like that this morning? What a wonderful thing. Because it's easy to forget. And so my prayer is, this is just an introduction today, so I'm sorry if it feels disjointed. But my prayer is, as we go through this whole series, go and make disciples, is that we'll be reminded again, just like that lady in the movie, of the amazing story we're part of. And it will enhance our relationship with each other, but with our Lord Jesus, King Jesus as well, above all things. Because I just want to come here and be fed and looked after like a care home. As important as that might be, there's something far beyond that that I want to be energized by. And the transformation in the lady in the film, when she just suddenly saw the story again, was beautiful. It was so touching. It was amazing. It really, really was. And I hope today for you, maybe you've lost that wonder of what it means to follow Jesus. For you, maybe it was always about going to church somewhere. Maybe singing a few songs and meeting some nice people. But I pray actually, our whole vista, our whole view will be transformed and challenged. It's what it really means to be a close follower of Jesus and how to help others be the same, as we're commanded to do that by Jesus himself. You see, the trouble is, we saw this when we looked at 2 Timothy. We saw that often, even though we're called to be a people who receive, practice and share, so we receive the great things from God, our salvation, our assurance, our promise of heaven, so often we can keep it to ourselves. But it must change what we do, our practice. We need to be a people who receive and practice. And then help others to do the same, to share, to encourage others on that walk. And stories that we heard this morning about a period in Emma's life and the Hopkins' life around trial through around the birth of Damaris and beyond. Help us understand what it means to walk and follow Jesus through thick and thin. It really is important. Because the trouble is, what we've done over the years, and I've apologized several times for 1600 years of church since Christendom, since Constantine in the 4th century, we've reduced the gospel of Jesus to some kind of single prayer you say, with your name then in heaven, and then you just wait here, ready to go, trying to survive. That is not the full gospel at all. I believe that's a defeatist gospel, and it's a shame because it would leave us in our seats being looked after. Hopefully that most of us will be able to stay here until the Lord comes back, hallelujah. Or he calls us individually. And what we've done over the years, we've reduced the gospel appeal to some kind of personal appeal. Come to Jesus and know him as your personal Savior alone. No corporate responsibility, nothing. No kingdom vision. He's just my personal Jesus. Jesus and me. And when he's your personal Jesus, he can be whoever you want. He can tolerate the things in your life that the Spirit of God is pointing at. We can make him whoever we want because he's nice and kind. The Bible doesn't say that. It is radical, if I can use that word these days. It is life-changing. It stretches any old wineskin and it creates a new one and a passion for others. And I believe as Christ followers, as we go through our series, please, please, I would pray you join us. I believe as we owe it in allegiance to our new boss, our new King, King Jesus, to communicate God's gospel as accurately as possible to anyone who'd listen. Because I think the gospel so often we share is unappealing. I spent many years living and sleeping with large groups of men in the military. Most of you know that. And I can tell you, talking about a simple personal relationship with this guy called Jesus doesn't cut it. When you talk about them being involved in the grandest project ever, and the fact that they can know a new boss, a new commanding officer, and they can have a new vision with a new kingdom, with a glorious future, sharing that with others, that's exciting. That's exciting. And I think if we declared the gospel of the cross and the gospel of the kingdom, we'd see more men in church. Because the gospel isn't dull. As nice as I like flower arranging, I know many of you do, that's lovely. And all the things that come with regular church sometimes, it's not the gospel. That just makes it nice to be here. Thank you so much. I'm grateful for that. But when it comes, we're talking core gospel now. And we've included it and we've clouded it all. And so no wonder people can come to our churches and fail to see Jesus, because they see everything we do and they think that's what they have to do as well for the next 40 years. And they'll be okay. Is that untrue? Maybe that's the gospel you followed. Then what happened over time is someone let you down in church, so you left. See, a gospel like that, come to church and just prop the church up for so many years and give so much money in. A gospel like that is easy to leave, you see. It's easy to leave. When I'm in allegiance with King Jesus and I'm in the place that he wants me to be, and I'm in relationship with him, listening to my commanding officer, then I want to be exactly where he wants me to be, doing exactly what he wants me to do. And the lovely people he puts around me, that's amazing as well. So often we speak about good news, but we do need the full story. So often, can I just say, it's really around about a from and to as well. It's about a from and to. If I was to summarize it, we've spent an awful lot of time over years on the from. And that's really important. Can I say they're both equally important? But we spent a lot of time on the from and to. So having a balanced gospel, what I mean by that is the balance from and to. So historically, the major emphasis in our gospel sharing has been on the from. You've been saved from judgment. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Amen. Who here says thank you, Jesus, for the cross? Hallelujah. Amen. Absolutely. Fantastic. And we talk and we say we've been saved from judgment. We've been saved from hell. And maybe there's some kind of restricted to in our message. And we're going to go to heaven one day. But the good news of the gospel is much greater than a ticket to heaven. In the meantime, try and survive message. The true gospel is much richer, is much broader, is much greater than that. God has always saved us from for a two purpose. A completely new life in Jesus. Do you remember Genesis 12? This from and to, we see it in the Bible. In Genesis 12, God calls Abraham into relationship. He says, I need to call you from something, from Ur, from the life you have. Call you from where you are. Abraham, I want you to leave the place you are now. You need to turn around. You need to move around. You need to come around. This is my agreement. This is my initiative. It's called a covenant in the Bible. It's God's ball. And God says to Abraham, look, I'm calling you from this life. Yet not just from, but to something as well. So look, Abraham, I'm calling you from this life, but you're going to be a blessing to all nations. Abraham, I'm calling you into an international project. It's nothing less than an international project that Abraham is called from to. He's called from a nice place, he was quite well off, he was doing well, but this is a grand international project. And that's amazing. That is fantastic. I've got a grand purpose for you, Abraham. This isn't about me saving just you, Abraham. Genesis 15, Abraham takes hold of God's covenant promise. He listens to what God says. I've called you, I'm taking you out, and now I've got an international project. He takes it and he believes it. And that becomes the vehicle of international blessing. And Paul uses that when he's speaking to the church at Rome, to the church at Galatia. Just like Abraham, we take God's promise, his covenant promise, we believe it and we move forward. And in Romans 4, Paul says, this is how God works. When we're talking about following Jesus today, the new covenant, the covenant language is slightly different with Jesus. The way the covenant looks and feels is different, but it was always pointing to him. And this is how God always works. You see, people say, they often say to me, people who maybe don't know the scriptures or some people who think they do. They say the God of the Old Testament seems different to the God of the New Testament. Has anyone ever felt that or said that? You can be honest, it's okay. It feels a bit different, doesn't it, the Old Testament to the New Testament. But you see, when you look at how God saves people, he's always called them from something to something. God always uses covenant language. This is how it's going to work language. And this is what your part in that deal is language. A from and a to. And we see it in Galatians 3 as well. Paul is trying to explain the Galatians have got all inward, a bit like church can be. Galatians have started to add external things. They've got Jesus and the salvation and the cross, right? But it's all about them. It's all about externals. And Paul says, why are you turning away from the gospel? He uses much more colorful language than that, I've got to say. He calls them pretty much stupid. But you see, Paul can describe the gospel to the Galatian church as an outward, bigger project. The gospel in advance, he describes it, given to Abraham. Let me read it, Galatians 3:7. Talking to people who are kind of, have got a Jesus and me thing going on. And externals, this is just how we do church. This is how you know you're in, you're part of our crowd. Paul says, understand then, church, that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. And listen, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham. So what Paul is saying to us today and to the Galatian church is, church, listen, look, it's a bigger project. We are part of the Abraham from and to story. Don't just make it a Galatian story. Don't just make it a Bethel Coventry story. Don't just make it whatever church you want to say, my household story. Don't just make it about you and Jesus and about people joining your tribe and then being in by doing certain things. It might not be circumcision in our churches today, but it might be a certain style of Bible reading. It could be a certain way we do church or the songs we sing. We all have in things that we like to portray and communicate. Well, they're wrong. Paul says to the Galatians, come on. Don't let the traditionalisms get in the way of the big story. We are part of the to and from Abraham story church. Can we see that? It's in scripture. Read Galatians 3. It's not Keith here. Please. So Paul, just like that visitor, wants to go to this church that has forgotten and got all inward and about the outward markers. And he says, can I tell you the story? It's like Abraham. And as he recites the story, he's praying. The church goes, wow, like the lady. Oh, man, that's the story I always were part of. Isn't that great? It is, isn't it? Thank you, Susie. It's so lovely. You see, God's people have been brought in by covenant, says Paul, says the scriptures, to be an honored international blessing. We're to be an onward blessing, to share in God's redemptive work to all peoples. And the reason we get confused is we look at all the ins and outs of the Old Testament, but the mechanism is slightly different, but the language and the way it works is the same. So in covenant, God says, he starts the covenant. This is how it works. This is how I'm going to enter relationship with you. And now we're in relationship. This is what you do. As people who follow me, this is what you do as my ambassadors. So it changes the vehicle. For Genesis 17, Abraham, it was circumcision. This is an outward sign of obedience and our covenant. For Moses, it was the Ten Commandments and the law. It was an external thing. And Jesus describes the way he brings us into covenant relationship as the new covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood. This is how it's all kicked off, the relationship. So Jesus and me is the starting gun. It's not the end game till he comes back. Do we understand what we're saying, what we're getting into? Do we kind of start to even begin to know the story we are part of, church? Galatia, Bethel Church. And you see, if my church history says it's all about growing this place, so more people come, which is a grand thing, fine. Then that wineskin's going to get stretched. And if the paradigm of discipleship comes in, which talks about enabling all of us to do this out there and to do this 24/7 at the school gate or in a hospital or wherever we are, then it, no wonder our wineskin cracks. I think understanding the pain we're feeling is half the battle. When we're challenged by scripture, sometimes we feel frustrated and angry that we're angry. Anyone been there? I should be glad about this stuff, but why do I feel challenged? And it kind of feels disruptive. This is what I've known. This is my wineskin. And the Spirit comes and says, but you've always been part of this. I've been trying. You've had amnesia. You've always had this thing. I'm trying to remind you of the story you're part of. I want the Spirit of God to visit me. The Spirit of truth will come and he will remind you of these things, says Jesus. So speaking to this covenant people in Matthew 28, Jesus says, the people who are already his followers, already Jesus and me, already Jesus and us, this is really great. He speaks to them and he says, so now I'm going to remind you of your Abrahamic international brief. Your Abrahamic brief. So now go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're all involved, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Don't go out giving tickets to heaven. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Make close followers of me, says Jesus. Remember the international project you're part of. That was always my plan since the beginning. Wonderful story. Isn't it great to get to know the story? Isn't it releasing to know that this isn't it? This isn't the Christian life as much as I love this place. Isn't it wonderful? That this might be more like a university as well as a chaplaincy. That we can learn and go out and use what the Spirit has shown us over these times. And I pray over this series, and I'm conscious of our time running away, but I just want to run through really quickly. It's important that we know our from. Let's do a quick from and to. I don't want you to hear wrong, incorrectly here. The from is what makes it all possible. God has made it possible for us to enter into that covenant relationship with him. Achieving this through that amazing one and only sacrifice. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. His Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. All that wonderful, wonderful gospel. Great is the gospel of our glorious God. And this one act, as we accept it by faith, cancels out all judgments on us. All right judgments from a holy God. Rescues us from an eternal separation from a holy God. Saves us from a future of eternal condemnation. For sure. And then as we cooperate with the Spirit of God, as he teaches us through his word, through his people, as we encourage one another here as church, we become more like him. But you see, we also need to know the two. See, that is the gospel we've known and learnt for a long time. Come to Jesus. He died on the cross. Repent, turn around, and come to know. Absolutely. And then join a church and show your allegiance to that church till you die. And the church can be a really harsh taskmaster. Can be a difficult place to be. But if my allegiance is to Jesus from the beginning, you'll notice in our charges to those who get baptized, recently Stuart was baptized, and even to Erin today at 10 years old, there'll be a charge around, who's your boss? Who's your new allegiant boss now? It's not well done joined the Sunday school. As grand as that might be, and we're so appreciative of everything we do. But it's also important, because as well as from, being saved from and so grateful, and it fuels our worship, it also saves us to a new life, an international project. A life where we join the company of those saved and take up God's redemptive commission to pass on this good news. And that involves a couple of things. We do some exercises at the Bible College with the students. I want you to summarize the gospel, we say, in 3 minutes. I can guarantee they'll do the first part really well. Well, you need to know that you're a sinner, that you know that you need forgiveness, and Jesus has paid the price. And they're good at it. Full stop. And it's important to find a Bible teaching church where you can learn the Bible more and over years, and you'll learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Now, that falls short of being one, really. I want to learn how to do it. What does it look like on the ground? This whole new series will be about what does it feel like to be a disciple of Jesus? What are the challenges? What is the heart of a disciple? What about the heart of a disciple? What's it like to be called as a follower of Jesus? There's lots of things. It's a hard thing. So the series is designed to be practical. If 2 Timothy was about, yes, we really get we want to be disciples now, but what does it look like on the ground? This series is around what that feels like on a day-to-day basis. What's the call like? What really matters to me as a disciple of Jesus? Because if I'm communicating the gospel, I don't want to stop short with the Bible College students, some of them. It's important first that we share that God has made it possible to know him through Christ. Without a doubt, we've said that, through his work on the cross. But second, it's going out into the world to join him in his international project to redeem the whole cosmos, to represent him as his ambassador, to show that he's our boss in school, in our home, at the school gates, in our neighborhoods, that he is the one I follow. And so my call often, when I speak to people now, is come into covenant relationship with God. He's made it possible by the cross. You need forgiveness. It's not just a nice option. He saved you from something. This is the eternal consequences of not following Jesus. I do that bit. But also, he's called us to become like Jesus, to become close followers. And so, my desire when I communicate the gospel to someone is to try and help them become a disciple as well. And what is the measure of true successful disciple making? It is not meeting with someone else to do a Bible study. That is not disciple making. It might be part of it. It's when the person you meet with is doing that with someone else. And then the person they meet is doing that with someone else and doing that with someone else and doing that. It's disciples who make disciples. It's not creating groups of dependent or me. I am not a successful disciple maker if I make lots and lots of people dependent on me and my knowledge in the Bible, if that's what I've got. I want to see. So the people I meet with 3 or 4 guys. We said week one, and some of them are here. Week one, this will be successful when you are doing this with someone else. Until then, it isn't. But it might be fun. Or not. But it's great. I love it. We share heart. We get along. But from the very beginning, it's about people know they're brief at the beginning, so a new convert knows that I need to be able to go and share what I do with other people. And it will involve study. It will involve all the things we probably traditionally think of disciple making. But the end game is you see them blossom. You see them sharing Jesus too. You see them encouraging others. I'm nearly through. You know, I just pray as we go through this series, and I'm sorry it's been a bit disjointed, but I hope you see the heartbeat behind it. I pray that each minute, each hour, each day, each week, just like that movie, I pray that the Spirit visits us, comes as often as He needs to, permanently living inside, I know that, but I pray that He permanently reminds us then, let's do that, of our story. And that we'll get to a point each and every day where we're like, Jesus, I'll get up on a morning and say, I'm part of this amazing story that has so transformed my relationship. I no longer see you as a stranger. I see you as my Savior and King. You are my King, we sang. You are my King. I don't just want to sing Amazing Love, that you died for me. I don't just want to sing that. That is amazing. But I want to sing You Are My King. I want that part of the story to be fresh every minute. And who's this for? Is it for the leadership or those paid to be Christians like me? Who's it for? Well, thankfully, Jesus didn't leave us to guess. Because it can be easy. Maybe there's a certain place we can do it as well. Church is usually a good place to make disciples. No, let's. You can see it in that one line, go and make disciples of all nations. So how it will work as we bring this down and as we lead into the series over the coming weeks, it will mean go, don't stay, in brackets. So wherever we are, go. And it's a generic thing. Jesus didn't mention a specific postcode. You might have noticed that. Because then we could say, well, I don't live in that postcode, so that's not for me. He says, go into the world. And my guess is, my last time I looked at the members list and friends, is that you all live somewhere in the world. I think, yeah, that's pretty good. You might not think you are, but you are. And that's good. So Jesus says, wherever you are, you need to make disciples. Wherever you are. So there's no special building, there's no special postcode, and he then goes on to mention the contents of the book of Acts in the Acts reading as well, going to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world, which they do by the end of the book of Acts, the capital of the then known world, Rome. It's interesting. So Jesus commands all of us to do this, and so it's all of our brief. And I just want to finish by saying what won't make it. It's always helpful to have an example of what a disciple making isn't. I find other examples of not helpful in the way my brain works. Allegiance to the church won't cut it. You could sleep here every day and never make a disciple. Really. Allegiance to a set of rules or doctrines won't do it either. So I can read a list and say, yes, I agree with that list and don't do anything about that. It needn't change anything I do or anywhere I go or anybody I influence because it's Jesus and me. So allegiance to a set of rules or a statement of faith only or a building or a place won't cut it. Nothing short, let me finish with this, of a totally transformed life prompted and led by the Spirit of God, with the relationship initiated at the cross, will do. Nothing short of Him being our complete and utter boss. Getting up every day, and whether we say or not, or mean it, or just think it, Lord, what do You want me to do for You today? Because You are my King. See, a gospel that says, come to church, know Jesus personally only will not produce the depth of follower or disciple that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 28 at all. It will remain in four walls or in my old wineskin of Jesus helping me through my trials in life. You see, what I find interesting is that 11 out of the 12 disciples, pretty much, thinking about the new disciple who was added after Judas, 11 out of the 12 considered the gospel, in fact they did, something to die for. They died for the project. 11 out of the 12. I'm not convinced we would. I know it's hard to think that now because we're pretty safe in here. But would you actually, would I die for the gospel I proclaim today? I only would if that was the most important thing and life-changing, transforming thing in my life. And that's going to take the Spirit of God coming and visiting like that man in the story and reminding me of what really matters and the fact that I'm part of that story. And my relationship then goes, wow, Jesus. Oh my goodness, thank you for coming. Here was me in my care home thinking I'd been forgotten. Didn't know what I was really doing. I was drifting around. I didn't even really know who you were, if I'm honest, Jesus. It's challenging, isn't it? It challenges my heart every time. It really does. So over the coming weeks, we'll be looking at the King we serve, the kingdom we're part of, the calling of a disciple, the heart of a disciple. Could I just ask, maybe you're a Jesus follower this today, and that's wonderful. Do you know the story you're part of? Has the Spirit of God come in and said, this is an international project. I need you with me to go and make disciples, other people who love and follow me too, just like you. And that happens wherever you are. And if he has, and if today is the start of that wake-up call, hallelujah. Join me as I fail as well. Join me as I stumble as well. As I need him in the hospital as well. As I need him in my home as well. Wherever that is, join me in at least wanting to want to. And saying, Lord Jesus, please, I come to you now. I give myself to you. I think the music group are going to come. And let me pray. I pray that you've been challenged today. This matters so much. You are my King. You are my King. Lord Jesus, help me to mean it. Help me, Lord, to least want to. I thank you so much that you call me into something grander than me, myself, and I. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would, by your Spirit's power, come and energize, come and enable. For I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Come, Lord Jesus, change this wineskin. Change the wineskin of my heart. Change the wineskin of this, your amazing church here in locally at Bethel. Change the wineskin of this city. Lord, change the wineskin of your collective believers, Lord, to take you at your word and to go make a difference and to see you transform a community, a city, even a nation, a world. Because one day, Lord, you're coming back and you will declare that the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God and his Messiah. Until then, Lord, we say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. If you would love to pray, I would love to pray with you. Don't rush off at the end. Please come and let's pray through what it means to be a disciple together. God bless you. Thank you.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.